You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All-State, two-year starter, and rush in for the Big Red, an NFL vet.
Is Dudeness or Duder or, El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
It's Blackshirt Jay Moore with Hail Varsity Radio.
Back into it, the Blackshirt Hour commences. It's Jay Moore, Blackshirt Husker NFLer at Jay Moore 44. Co-host Big Red wrap-up. Jay Bird, it's spring football time as March has been dominated by basketball, but we shift gears into the gridiron. How you doing?
I'm well. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I think, and it's been nice having basketball to talk about, have it be relevant and not have to be focused on spring football. But like we used to say when you played, it's the necessary evil, spring ball, the suck.
Well, let's get into some of that suck. And how you always had a really mature approach, and you've been very candid with your career, just how you had that moment, you know, sophomore to junior year, you were challenged by cause, and you were told to turn it up, and you absolutely did. When it comes to getting through the suck of winter conditioning and even spring for some of the older guys, what does it take to do what Matt Rhule's talking about, and that's enjoy doing things you hate?
Yeah, it's exactly right, and it's recognizing that it's hard, recognizing that it's not fun, but it's like what I mean. It's perfect. I mean, the necessary evils to be great. Like, you have to do things that you don't like to do to get where you want to go. And I mean, that's always a rule: to get where you haven't been, you have to do things you haven't done before. So that's what this team's going through. And they haven't been successful, and they haven't won enough football games to be bowl eligible. They haven't won enough football games to, you know, be in the talk of the Big Ten, winning the Big Ten. So these things they've done, you know, for the last year since Rhule's staff got here from last spring ball to now, it's been all encompassing. It's been everything. It's been on the field, off the field, big picture, small picture stuff. So it's just identifying what you're not good at. And I think that's healthy. And that's what all teams always, you always have to identify what you're not good at, attack that. But you also have to recognize what you are good at, too, to keep working on that. There are some good things that this team has done last fall. But now it's a time for, you know, young guys to step up, get some more reps that you're not able to get during spring ball, or excuse me, during a bowl practice. And it's time for them to grow up and mature and understand what's being taught, what's been taught in the film, on film, and on, you know, on the whiteboards, you know, through the winter and through all the meetings that they have with position coaches. It's time to apply that. It's also now it's time for the older guys is to still sharpen keep your tools and your tool belt sharp. You know, I don't think guys like Ty Robinson and Nash Hutchmacher and Isaac Gifford and, you know, guys who've been played a lot of football, they don't need a ton of reps this time. They're going to get some. So you need to stay sharp. You need to show younger guys how to do it. But this is time for guys who haven't played a ton of football, young guys, guys who have came in at semester, that's probably that signed early. It's time for them to come in and get acquainted and step up and see what they can do and improve themselves. It's time to prove themselves and put themselves in position to do it again in fall camp.
Jay, if you look at and drill down, and you had a short list, what is Nebraska not good at, in your opinion? What's kept them three shy?
Yeah, winning close games. You know, that's what it comes down to. I think winning close games, but also if it's 1A, 1B, you could say winning close games and turnovers. You know, that's probably 1A, 1B, and you could say what causes you know, maybe the turnovers is half the battle with losing close games. Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably so. I mean, the Maryland game, for instance, they turned the ball over at the goal line, and they could easily have taken the lead, right, at that instance. You just go down, you know, you can just go down the line of all the turnover issues we've had. You clean that up a little bit, and you somehow get yourself to back into plus territory. You'll see a huge leap for this team. Just get close to even somehow, some way. You'll see a huge jump with this team in wins and losses. So I think turnovers are obviously a huge factor, but just learning how to win those close games and understanding situational football. And that is something you can probably focus on a little more now that you're in year two. You can kind of, you know, identify those fine details, and that's how you kind of get over that hump of winning those close games. Understanding where you need to be, 2-minute situation, 4-minute situation, end of half, start of third quarter, end of game situations. So there's a lot that goes into it. And that's, if you want to probably give you a third, then I think the return game.
Okay.
I think the return game vastly needs to improve. I think with the way the game is going in football, it is harder, especially in college, it's harder and harder to return kicks. And it's harder to return kickoffs because they move them up, and these kickers have stronger legs. Touchbacks are becoming more and more prevalent. But the way you can spread people out and punt and get guys down the field, it's becoming the rugby style look has been tougher to return against. But I think a greater effort by Coach Foley and staff needs to be addressed, because we are leaving behind points, but also the hidden yardage game has been huge. And this, I don't know, you know, people might not understand how big a deal. I mean, starting field position is a huge implement to how success can be had on offense and momentum. So I think you get those three things. You want turnovers, return game, I think will obviously help you win those close football games that we lost in the second half of the year in 2023. So I think those kind of three things, two that lead into that last one, are probably my main things that they needed to address here starting today.
It's Jay Moore with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. And Jay, specifically here on the return game, do you think that's more about finding a dude, or is that about a team effort? Where do you think Nebraska improves? How do they improve in that regard?
Yeah, it's both. You got to have a dude back there. You do. You can't block everyone. I think the best kick returners and when whether it's in kickoff or punt, but you have to make a guy miss. You can't get all 10 guys essentially blocked. You have to make a guy miss. And I just think of our elite guys we've had in the past, whether it's, Bobby Newcomb, DeJuan Gross, DeMorne Pearsonell. Those guys had a great ability to, A, catch the ball. That's the most important thing, but then make that first guy miss, right? And that's, you got to be able to do that. But it also becomes to a team aspect as well, because you being on a punt return, being on a kick return, it's not a fun. I mean, some guys can have fun and enjoy. It's an opportunity to play, but it's not a sexy job, right? Not everyone's watching the kick returner. That's the fun job to have, but no one's looking at the guy on the front line of the kick return that's dropping back and is trying to block, the number four or five in the kick return. That's usually their best players. You know, the guys that are lined up towards the middle, towards the kicker, that's usually where your dogs are at running on the field. So you got to, you have to embrace that suck in that necessary evil, taking that responsibility on and winning that rep and getting him blocked. So you have to take pride in that, and you have to find guys that want to do it. Not everyone wants to do it. So, it's a nice mix of everyone. Yes, you have to get the block. You have to get the blocking right. There's a timing aspect that is very critical too in the return game. It's just like an offensive play. If the timings, you get guys blocked up, but the timing's off, it's not going to be a great return. So it has to all kind of work together, and it's tough. It's a whirlwind of a play. It's a crazy play in those return games. So everybody's involved, but I think if you get a dude back there, he can make a big difference with making some guys miss and then get north and south, playing that foot in the ground and get upfield and then turn on the jets.
Jay, a theme we've had here today has been embracing the suck. I want you to take us back 20 plus years ago. what moments from your football career, drills, I mean, as you talked about being the one of the middle guys on a punt, like what moments sucked the most, A, and then B, as a follow-up to that, are there any moments that sucked at the time, but now you look back upon and say, maybe that wasn't so bad. It was kind of fun.
You know, I would go back and do it all over again. I totally would. I loved, you know, it's a grind at times, but that's what made it great. You're going through the grind with guys who I love to death now, and I call them, you know, great friends, and you know, saw a handful of them this weekend and get to hang out and have beer. So you just kind of reminisce a little bit. So I just think of, like, you know, my first spring ball being there, you know, after the 2002 season, that'd have been my first one. That, you know, after we had made some staff changes, you know, Bo was there, but then I looked that very next spring ball and all of a sudden Callahan was there. And it was all of a sudden that was completely changed. But I just looked to, you know, that, my third spring ball going into my junior year, we made a radical change to our defense. And I can get nerdy here in X's and O's for you guys, but we were an over defense. We were a 4-3 over front. That meant the bubble of the defensive line was away from the strength of the defense. Essentially, that's the easiest way I can kind of explain it. But then we switched from an over 4-3 to an under 4-3 defense. So now that the bubble now went towards the strength of the offense. All right. So the essentially there was no three technique to the strength of the offense, and the over the three technique goes to the strength of the offense, and the under the three technique goes away. And we implemented we just catered toward to our strengths. With we had, you know, we had Adam Carricker, who we moved him to that bayside end because he was so physically gifted and so strong at the point of attack that he could handle more double teams and play heavier on a five technique. We have Oladokunduro, who was a really athletic, good zero or a shade of one technique. You had Barry Cryer, who was a three technique, a really good player. And then myself, who I wasn't as big as was Adam, but I was able to, they wanted me to drop more in coverage. So then I was kind of that opposite end, playing over tight ends, you know, away from the call, you know, covering running backs at times. So I think there's, and then we had Stu Bradley as well, who was able to play the same and played on the edge of the line right next to Adam. So they just identified what we could do. Then we attacked it that spring. We made a drastic change to our defense. We got way more physical. We're talking Oklahoma drills every single day. I mean, it was a drastic change, and we got better. There was no way around it. We got dramatically better. Everyone got stronger. Everyone got better technique-wise. Everyone just got tougher, and it showed next year. Obviously, we'd like to win more football games, but I think our defense made dramatic leaps, led the country in sacks, and I got dramatically better as well. From my sophomore year to my junior year, I'm not even close, not even comparable to where I was just a year before, and that's because they put me in a position to play within my strengths, but they made me tougher. And they made me stronger, and I got mentally tougher, and that's always going to make you better on the football field.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Jay Moore's with us, black shirt Husker NFLer. Hail Varsity Radio at JMoore44, where you find him on Twitter. Co-host Big Red Wrap-Up. Thanks for sharing some of that suck and where you guys were able to make some strides. And you guys were really... I think about teeing off on quarterbacks like you did your junior and senior year. Pretty impressive, you know, front seven to go harass a lot of pretty big-time quarterbacks in the Big 12 at the time. And you guys went and played for a championship. I bring the championship part up because Matt Rhule laid out in his presser, I'm giving this team and these guys the gift of high expectations. So, as we talk here, day one of spring ball, is a top four finish in the Big Ten too high expectations?
I don't think so. I think that's a very...
Is it attainable?
It's attainable, and it's not unrealistic. I think we all know that Ohio State is going to be the favorite. Mm-hmm. So, okay, then, and I think they're... I think it's kind of Ohio State, and then there's probably a few other teams. So you look at Michigan, who just won the national championship. Obviously, lost some players, lost coaches. Harbaugh's gone to to the Chargers. So there's something else going on there. Lose our quarterback. I mean, McCarthy is going to be a first-round draft pick. So you got to think how where are they at in the whole scheme of things. Yes, they'll have talent, and I think they're going to be in the top four. Then you got to look to Penn State, you know, and I think they have some great talent. I can't remember what did they play in a New Year's Six game last year. This past year, I can't remember.
They but were I, Fiesta Bowl, right?
That's why I want to say Fiesta Bowl. But I knew they were right there, right? A really good football team, and then you got to look at okay, who's coming over?
Probably from, Oregon, right?
Or you got Oregon, right? Washington, whole different scenario now with Fisk stepping in, with DeBoer going to Alabama, USC,
Iowa, Wisconsin, yeah. the old West favorites.
It's you kind of lump everyone else after there, after those top four, and then it's kind of like, you know, UCLA is going to struggle, I think. USC, you just don't know, but yeah, Iowa, Wisconsin, us. I don't see what kind of season Illinois has potential in there. I don't know, but I think it's doable, and I think this schedule, how it starts off, is doable. And I say that because it's a schedule that you can really get confidence and get hot. And the schedule that's coming up in end of August and beginning of September it leans towards building some confidence. And if they can get it going, I mean, they can be right in the running to, you know, pressing with that within those top four teams. But definitely attainable. I don't think it's I wasn't taken back or like, oh, there's no way. We kind of discuss and think about it, I'm like, yeah, I'm okay with that. And I'm okay with those expectations.
Lines of scrimmage, guys, got to make you feel pretty good from an experience and a talent standpoint on offense and defense, right? It comes down to what, turnovers? It comes down to
three more points
as chasing three is the theme. And it comes down, dare I say it, quarterback play, because all eyes are going to be on Raiola and Kalen and what type of jumps Harburg can make. But we all think it's going to be Raiola that wins out in the end, as we don't go out on much of a ledge to say, well, it's Raiola's job to lose because of the skill set and the talent that's coming in.
Yeah, it's things are coming together quite nicely. And it's the nice thing is, with the beauty of NIL, you're able to keep some guys around that might not have, that easily could have left. And I'm talking Ty Robinson, Hutchmacher, Isaac Gifford, right? And obviously two of those guys are key guys in the defensive line. Offensive line, that, you know, you're able to keep your center still there, and that's a huge get to keep him around, the guy that's making the calls, the guy that has obviously some nastiness to bring to that room. You have some guys that have played a ton of snaps on that side of the football, plus some young guys that got to play a lot last year, some injuries, you know, like Justin Jenkins, and, you know, this some guys that just had to step in and played at a very high level. So that's great, but also the competition that's involved too, because I think there's some young guys that are coming in, they're going to want to play, and they're going to want to compete, and that raises up everyone's level. You got to be good, and the last thing you want to do is lose your job to a younger player. So I like the ask. I like where the lines of scrimmage, those positions are. Like you said, right, hold it, man, it's his job to lose. Mm-hmm. I think the pressure is not going to be too big for him. I think he's going to appreciate the pressure. And it's been said by coaches, pressure is a privilege, right? And I'm sure he's going to embrace that. And, you know, get the line play going, you get some decent QB play going, get the run game going. I think Fedoni could have an awesome season. I think they need to utilize the heck of, he could be a matchup nightmare for people. Offensively, last year, get the cobwebs off, you know, finally get some confidence in your knees that you've had issues with. I'm just excited. You know, the Banks from Wake Forest, the wide receiver group, you know, it's rare that I talk about wide receivers, but I think that's a guy that's raised the level of play of that very young room. Nayard, you know, out of Texas, you know, that's another the guy that could step in and raise that level. But overall, I don't want to get, you know, too far over my skis, and I don't want to, you know, start, you know, the Kool-Aid, right? But
you're going to start putting eye black on in 2 seconds, Jay. Right, I know you're right, going to rip your sleeves off.
It just feels like a good spot, even though, yes, I know our quarterback potentially is a true freshman, but the fact that you get some spring ball in him, was the top quarterback recruit in the nation And obviously with the history of the family within the organization, I feel pretty good about where everything is. And I look forward to hearing about the young guys that step up, get more confidence, and make that big jump from year one to year two or year two to year three, like I did, and get themselves in the mix and get ready to go and play some really good football.
Jay, last stop before we get you out of here, about 60 seconds. How disappointing was Friday night to you with Husker basketball falling to A&M?
Yeah, obviously very disappointing. Took the wind out of the sails. There was a lot of buzz. You know, I had stopped and saw a couple buddies, and I was like, I'm going home to watch the game. I don't want to be in a public place. That's kind of how I am watching Nebraska football. But I tell you what, it was just A&M, you know, they're a really good basketball team. I mean, easily could have beat number one Houston last night. Their ability to get to the rim, the athletic ability, the talent, able to find some, some shooting, even though that wasn't their strength of the year. In that first 5 minutes, even though we were hanging with them, I go, this does not look good for us. I mean, you can just tell length and athleticism. This is a bad matchup. We always kind of struggle with those type of teams throughout the year on the road. Minnesota's and, the Rutgers that have those kind of long athletic players. Basketball talent was even greater with A&M, but you get everything that matched up there. Just too big. There's just too big of a task, and just, make some mistakes, and you can't shoot it well, and that's just going to happen. But it just shows you where you need to get better at. You got to go get some probably a true five, get long, get athletic. You got to find a point guard. Mm-hmm. You got to get a point guard. Just in that game last night between A&M and Houston, I mean, those guys make the world a difference. Just in college basketball, at this level, at this time in March, point guard's a guy to get to the rack, can facilitate, can shoot. You got to have one, and whether it comes from transfer portal or within, I know Fred identified this type of stuff obviously as well too. So it'll be kind of see how fun this offseason, see what all kind of transpires with all that.
Jay Moore with us. Jay, appreciate you, brother. We'll check in next week.
Yep. Thanks, guys.